Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who pours out the Holy Spirit upon the church. Amen. Our text is the Pentecost story, Acts chapter 2. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. As a great wind, blow faith into our hearts. Take away our doubts and our worries. And as a raging fire, warm our hearts with your love. Give us zeal and compassion and love for others. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, on Pentecost, I like to say, happy birthday. Thank you very much. It's a rousing birthday celebration. Happy birthday. Now, why in the world am I saying happy birthday to you? Because Pentecost is called the birthday of the Christian church. So happy birthday to First Lutheran Church and indeed the church throughout the whole world. It's the kind of the official birthday of the church. 3,000 people are born again in baptism that day. The church, if you will, is born. So happy birthday. We celebrate. We thank God for the wonderful gift of the Spirit, the gospel. My question today is this for us to consider. Are you a spiritual person? Are we a spiritual church? What's it really mean to be spiritual? I think there's a lot of misconceptions and heresies about what it means to be spirit-filled and spiritual. Do we have the Holy Spirit or don't we? Are we spiritual or not? As I read the Pentecost story, I note four things that are spiritual. From this story, four things the Holy Spirit wants to do for the church and through the church. He teaches us what is truly spiritual, which is of Him, the Holy Spirit. Four things. Maybe a little bit different than what you are thinking of when you think of spiritual. First of all, I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to remember. He wants us to look back and remember and never forget. Often when we think of the Holy Spirit, we think of the future. Go, go, go. Do. Get busy, church. Do something. And there is that part of it, too. But take a step back. First of all, the Spirit calls the church to remember. Didn't Jesus say in the gospel lesson, when the Spirit comes, He will help you to remember everything first? How does the Holy Spirit appear on Pentecost? This helps us remember. As a wind. He's that strong, audible wind, the mighty rushing wind, wind and fire, fire on their heads. And wind and fire should not surprise us because the Holy Spirit does a lot of great things in the Old Testament through wind and fire. So by coming as wind and fire, He wants us to look back, first of all. Consider the great things that have happened in the past, that we have confidence that great things can happen now and in the future. The Spirit is wind. Stories come to mind immediately remembering the Old Testament. You think of creation itself. How did God make Adam? He breathed wind, breath into dirt, and Adam came to life. Wind, spirits involved. Noah's Ark, a wind made the floodwaters recede. The Red Sea, a wind caused the Red Sea to split. And then it caused the Red Sea to come over the Egyptian army. All by wind. Ruach is the Hebrew word. Spirit, wind. I think of Ezekiel and the great story of dry bones. And the dry bones become a vast army. How in the world does that happen? A bunch of dead bones become an army. By a wind, the breath of God, the Spirit, the preaching of Ezekiel, a wind, the breath's involved. So when the Spirit comes, it's wind. Remember all the great things I did in the old. I'll do great things now, even greater things now. And then fire. Well, there's fire all over the place. You have the burning bush where God calls Moses. You have the fire on Mount Sinai. You have Elijah, who's called the prophet of fire, who calls down fire. You have the pillar of fire that leads the people of Israel through the desert during the night. Fire, 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 wind, wind, wind. The Spirit is saying, remember how I've done great things in the past, but now we're going to do something greater. And what's the difference? Because Jesus has come. The Savior lived. The Savior died. The Savior rose again. And there is forgiveness of sins. There is eternal salvation for the whole world. And now the Spirit takes over and says, oh, we're going to do something greater. We're going to save people not from a flood or from the Egyptians. We're going to save people from sin, death, and hell because of what Christ has done. I did something great back then. I'll do something even greater now. I did something great through Moses, who was reluctant, through Noah, through piddly little people. I can do great things to the church. Remember and be confident. We have not turned on the air conditioning at home yet. Who's turned on your air conditioning already? Most of you. I live with three women still. No air conditioning yet for this big old fat guy. Anyway, what do I do to compensate for no air conditioning? I have a fan. And I blow the fan on myself. And my fan has three levels. And if I turn it on level one, the weakest level, and it cools me off, do I have confidence that level three will really cool me off? You better believe it. If level one does the job, a little breeze, level three is going to blow me away and I'm going to be, luxury, finally. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament is level one. He does great things, but he's level one. He's mainly a breath. Level one. Notice the Pentecost story. He's not a breath. He's not a whisper. He is a mighty rushing wind. This is level three. This is full force Holy Spirit upon the whole church to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. We got a task. Remember the great things God has done and have confidence he can use us and do great things now. Doesn't seem real spiritual, but it is, to contemplate and remember and recall. Secondly, the Spirit wants us to receive. To receive the gifts of God and the blessings of heaven. Again, we think of spiritual things as doing. I got to do something. I got to run. I got busyness, activity. I got to run and do all this stuff. Then I'm spiritual because I'm doing and I'm busy. It's very spiritual to sit and to receive, called faith, what God gives. This is more important than doing. Remember the story of Mary and Martha? What was Martha doing? She was doing. I got to serve. I got to make the meal. I got to do. And what was Mary doing? Sitting and listening. And who does Jesus commend as being more spiritual? Mary, the one who's receiving. And in the Pentecost story, I see a lot of receiving from God's people. They are receiving the Spirit and forgiveness and the gospel and faith. Notice what the 120 believers are doing in that room when the Spirit comes. What are they doing? They are sitting. They're not yelling and screaming and praising the Lord all over the place. They are sitting. A posture of receiving the Word of God. And perhaps an apostle is teaching at that very time, although we're not told that specifically. Sitting is a posture of receiving. You're doing it right now. Receiving the Word of God. What you're doing right now to receive the Word of God and to hear it, this is very, very spiritual. The Spirit's involved here. And then you have 3,000 people that listen to Peter's sermon and listen to the people speak in their language. They are receiving the gospel, receiving the Word of God. They're listening. And then 3,000 people, if you read on, they are baptized. They're receiving the washing of God, the forgiveness of God, the grace of God. It's a story of reception. That's the Spirit. He enables us to receive what God gives, the Word, the sacraments, absolution, forgiveness, baptism, and we are saved and redeemed. It's called faith, the work of the Spirit. You know, a minor miracle happened outside my office this week. I was walking to my office one afternoon, and I opened my door, walked out, and there's a little bitty bunny about that big. He wasn't a big bunny, a little bitty bunny, a baby bunny. He saw me, and he was terrified. He was right here at the bottom of my steps. And that bunny ran down the sidewalk, hopping quick. And as he went down the sidewalk, he darted off in the grass towards Broadway. And I saw a car coming pretty fast. And I saw the timing of things. The bunny was going to hit Broadway the same time the car was going to come to the bunny. Bad news for bunny. And the bunny was on the sidewalk out by Broadway, ready to cross over, and the car was coming, the bunny hopping. And what did I do? Because I'm a compassionate, loving man towards animals. I said, no, bunny. You probably heard me. No bunny. And guess what the bunny did? The bunny stopped when he was about 2 yards on the Broadway. He stopped and diverted his path and came back through the gravel parking lot, saved. And the headlines read, Busher saves bunny. Did you see the headline? You know, I don't know whether he diverted the path because of my voice or he's just a smart little bunny saw a truck coming. I don't know. But I want to take it this way. If a little bunny would listen to words of salvation, how much more people ought to listen to words of salvation? God has his no. It's called the law. No, no, no. But he has something much better. His yes. His yes is Christ. Yes, I forgive you. His yes is baptism. Yes, I forgive you. His yes is the sacrament. Yes, this is my body and my blood, and you're forgiven and you're redeemed. That's God's yes. Will God's people listen and receive it? I pray we do. Remembering, receiving, and then it is spiritual to reach out. Yes. After we remember and receive, then we cannot help but reach out because of the grace of God. And in this story, I think we are taught specifically what is the mission of the church. What specifically is the mission of the Christian church? Why are we left here on earth? When the Lord ascended, why didn't the church just ascend with him and get it over with? Why are we left here? Specifically, we are left here to preach and to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. To make a name for Jesus. We don't have to make his name, but to proclaim his name. The Tower of Babel, I'll make a name for myself. Look at how great I am. That's not the church, that's mankind. Make a name for yourself. Be great. The church is proclaim the saving great name of Jesus. And that's exactly what God empowers the church to do. This is so important, he allows them to speak in other languages for a time. Because we got to get the message of Christ out, the gospel out. And he allows everyone to have a tongue of fire and to speak in other languages. Not just Peter or a couple of apostles, but everybody. The Spirit's on all flesh, on all who would believe. It's so important to get the gospel of Jesus out. Notice we're not told that these people are foreigners from out of town. We're not told that the church gave them housing, which maybe they did. It would have been a loving thing to do, but we're not told that. We're not told that the church gave them money. Here's some money to help you. They might have done that, a loving thing to do, but we're not told that. We're not told that they had them over for dinner and fed them. They might have done that too. All loving, kind things. We're not told any of that. We're told precisely what God wants to happen. Speak the gospel of Jesus. Because he saves. Yes, love. Yes, show kindness. Yes, feed them. Take care of their bills if you need to. And all that's there too. But above all, we preach and teach Jesus Christ. Birth, life, death, resurrection, forgiveness and salvation in his name. This is so important. The Spirit's given to speak in other languages. And if they speak in other languages, how can we not speak in our own language to people? Speak up, Christian. God gave you a mouth. Use it. Now is the time. The world is dying. For Christians to speak up and be bold about it. And be truthful and faithful. Do you know who is the most trustworthy person in America? There was a survey done and people listed who they trusted, who they found trustworthy. There's a list of about 50 people. Peyton Manning made the list. He was number 27. People trust him, except when he plays Florida, of course. We don't trust him a whole lot. And the president's wife made the list. She was number 19. Michelle Obama. And number 8 was Alex Trebek. We trust good old Jeopardy guy. Alex, he was number 8 of trustworthy. You know who is number 1 most trustworthy person in Americans' eyes? Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks. He's trustworthy. Forrest Gump. We like what he does. He won't be on the tabloids. He's a good guy. We trust him. Tom Hanks. What a sad world. I pray he's a good guy. May he be saved. I don't know whether he is or not. We have a message, folks, to tell people who to trust. Trust in the Son of God. Trust in the one who was born for you. Trust in the Lamb who was slain for you. The Lord who rose again. Trust in that. Trust in him. That's our message. Trust Jesus. for heaven, for your life. Last of all, it is spiritual to be rejected. This has to be added. Pentecost is a glorious day. 3,000 people, the birthday of the church, praise be to God. Hallelujah. Yes. Read the rest of Acts. Every preacher wants every Sunday to be a Pentecost. May there be 3,000 baptized, and may everybody want to believe and want to come and hear the Word of God. It's going to happen. Our school filled, our church filled. Wow, it's going to happen. Every day of Pentecost. Well, God does give Pentecost along the way, and we praise Him for every baptism, every new member, everybody that turns and believes. And God does do that. It's powerful. But generally, there's rejection for the church. Read the rest of Acts. This is a great day, but read on. Peter and John are thrown in prison soon. Stephen is stoned. There's great persecution in Jerusalem. They scatter. Paul goes on missionary journeys, and Paul has some limited success, we would say, from an earthly point of view. He plants some churches, but they're not huge. They're not fabulous. Small little churches here or there. And Paul is stoned. He's beaten, rejected. He wipes the dust off his feet, and he goes on. Then at the end of the book, he goes to Rome, and he's killed. Peter killed too by Nero. There's a cross to bear. And a mark of the Spirit in general is the rejection of the church. Bearing a cross. If we're too popular, people like us too much, beware. Why do they like us so much? Are we really preaching Jesus and sin and law and gospel, or compromising? Something to think about. And yet we don't give up. Though we suffer. Though we're persecuted. We never give up. We press on. We persevere. We keep preaching and teaching. We never give up. We want to save that one lost soul. Those two lost souls. And we know heaven is to come. Resurrection is to come. And we press on to glory. Because Christ has already earned it for us. And that's the work of the Spirit. Perseverance is a mark of the Spirit. We're spiritual when we persevere. When we don't quit. When we keep going. Because God loves me. That's the Spirit. I'll read you a story I like. It's a little joke. Baseball joke. Red Sox and Yankees, they hate each other. You know that, right? A Red Sox fan walks into a Boston pub and spots a guy wearing a New York Yankees hat. "Drinks for everyone here, bartender," he shouts, "except for the Yankees fan." The Yankees fan smiles and says, "Thank you." Infuriated, the Red Sox fan orders another round of drinks for everyone except the Yankees fan, who again says thank you. This goes on for a while until Mr. Red Sox asks the bartender, "What's the matter with that guy? I've ordered rounds of drinks for everyone but him, and all he does is thank me. Is he crazy?" "No, he's not crazy," says the bartender. "He owns the place." Who gets the last laugh? Who gets the last laugh? The world derides us. We're outnumbered. We don't own this place, but what place do we own through the blood of Jesus? We have a spot in heaven. We have the riches of heaven. And we'll even enjoy the spoils of the world on that final day. So the world rejoices and has fun at our expense. So what? My name is written in heaven. I'm baptized. I'm God's child. I'm redeemed and saved. I'll press on. Are we spiritual? May we remember and remember what our God has done. May we receive His good gifts with joy. Let us reach out with zeal, all the while knowing we will generally be rejected. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Say it with me. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We rise and confess our faith. The Nicene Creed